for all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed. Thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia.
Friends, welcome to St. Stephen's United Church online worship today, here at the end of October. Today, we remember those in the faith who have gone before us. This is All Saints' Day. It's a day of commemoration and a day that God gives us to recall the lives that have helped us develop our faith. So let us worship together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in today's call to worship. Come, let us worship the God who came to seek and save the lost. Let us worship the God who came to seek and save each of us. Let us welcome God into our homes and our hearts. Let us give of ourselves in this worship time that we may know God. Let us joyfully and with gratitude worship God. And let us light our candles together. Let's pray. Holy and loving God, as the angels and all the saints gather before your throne and proclaim your everlasting praise and glory, so we gather here today in your holy sanctuary to worship and adore you. Stir up, O Lord, your faithful ones to seek more eagerly your living presence and attend us in this time we have set aside, so that we may more worthily magnify your most holy name. Grant us grace to follow those who have gone before us in lives of faith and commitment, that we, with them, may know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. We ask it through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let's say together our prayer of confession. God of lavish love, sometimes we fail to emulate your graciousness, and instead are judgmental of those we deem wicked or evil. Forgive us, we pray. Let your grace toward us beget grace in us, and let your love and mercy for us flow through us like a river of redemption and reconciliation in a world thirsty in spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved, through the love shown to us by Jesus Christ, we can be sure that we are God's children now. The Spirit of Christ is among us in this gathering. We are becoming more and more like Christ each day. Therefore, let us live joyfully as God's people, saints and instruments of the way of Christ. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. Friends, today is All Saints Sunday. It is the day we remember that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, people who have gone before us, who have carried this faith to us, people for whose lives we are extremely grateful. And every All Saints Sunday, we take a few moments to say a prayer of thanksgiving for the lives of those ones we've lost this year. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for the witnesses of our faith, for those who have helped us to hear the story of your people, for the ways that story has touched our lives. Thank you for the evangelists who have written the Gospels, for the power of their telling. Thank you for the prophets who have disturbed us, for their ability to help us examine our living. Thank you for those people we have known who have lived out the faith, for the inspiration and example they have been to us. We give thanks for the lives of these saints we have known in our midst, remembering together today Grace Duncan, James Duncan, Bill Hutchison, Hazel Naslund, Richard Traber, Joan Bodie, Murray Webster, and Norm Watts. God, help us also to live as witnesses to the faith where our living is consistent with our preaching. Help us to be powerful prophets and to let our works of justice and compassion influence our world. Help us to be disciples serving and ministering in your name, conveying everywhere the graciousness of your love. For all your saints, O God, we raise our hallelujahs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's scripture reading is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And I'm reading from the Message translation. Then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there, his name Zacchaeus, the head tax man, and quite rich. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. He was a short man and couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he came by. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home." Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw the incident was indignant and grumped, "What business does he have getting cozy with this crook?" Zacchaeus just stood there, a little stunned. He stammered apologetically, "Master, I give away half my income to the poor, and if I'm caught cheating, I pay 4 times the damages." Jesus said, "Today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost." This is the good news of Jesus Christ.
Last Sunday, under Phil's capable leading, we explored together the final part of the last letter we have from the Apostle Paul. It is a letter that Paul wrote to his protege Timothy, and we believe that he wrote it not very long before he died. Because of its timing, Paul was obviously, by what we read in the letter, reflecting on his life. He says that he has run the race, and he talks about having fought the good fight, a fight that you will remember that many years before, Paul had actually been on the opposite side of. When we first meet Paul in the biblical story, he's part of a group of people who were quite literally hunting down and killing Christians. He had been sanctioned by powerful religious leaders to find those who were spurring on the movement of Jesus' followers and to try to put an end to it all, in large part by killing those people. One day, as Paul was traveling to do actually that, to find more Christians, he was on the Damascus Road, on the way to that city, and he was stopped in the middle of his journey by the audible voice of Christ, who came to him and asked him why he was persecuting him, and then told Paul to get up and carry on to Damascus and wait there. Well, we all know what happened after that. Paul went to Damascus. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, who helped him to see the truth in Jesus' life and work. And the Spirit also gifted and then led him to spend the rest of his life preaching and sharing the gospel from Jerusalem north, west, and all the way to Rome. I'm always so struck by the thought of how dramatically Paul's life changed on that day on the Damascus Road. I'm pretty sure that when he first heard Jesus speaking to him, he probably thought he was done for. Remember, he was off to find some more of Jesus' people to kill, and he was giving his all to stopping Jesus' mission. But Jesus didn't strike him down, astoundingly. Quite the opposite. Jesus saved him, quite literally, physically, and spiritually. He didn't just let him live. He turned his whole life around and called and led him to give the rest of his days to ensuring that Jesus' mission expanded beyond Jerusalem, throughout the entire Gentile world. Friends, because of what Paul did in those years after that day, we are gathered together here today, blessed to have been called and welcomed into the fullness of life that Christ has for us. Jesus came to Paul and he showed him unbelievable grace, a grace that was completely and utterly unexpected. And that experience changed Paul forever. It changed everything for him. Grace has a way of doing that. Well, this story of Zacchaeus that we are reflecting on together today is another example of this happening, of a life being forever changed by Jesus' unexpected grace. This story is one that we actually often tell to children, I think in part because of that little detail that Luke includes about Zacchaeus having been too short to be able to see over the people in the crowd. Those of us who are familiar with that particular challenge feel some sense of connection with Zacchaeus. We understand his challenge. But you know, the details of his height are actually not meant to help us to sympathize with him. It is meant to show us something about him, something that is actually quite central to this whole encounter. Remember, Zacchaeus was a wealthy and powerful man. And if you think about it, wealthy, powerful people don't often have a hard time getting a seat with a good view, whether you live in the first century or the 21st century. But Zacchaeus seems to have been shut out from the front of the crowds lining the roads. And that's because he wasn't actually the endearing character that we might always have imagined him to be. It is much more likely that he was probably despised by just about everyone. Remember, he was a tax collector. He was also the chief tax collector. And in that time and place, tax collectors made their money by charging their own people more than the Roman government required them to pay in taxes, and then keeping the surplus over and above what went to the Romans for themselves. So the more you collected from people, the more you got to keep. Because of that, tax collectors were generally despised, and the chief tax collector who kept the whole system running was doubly hated. So according to Luke, Zacchaeus had done pretty well for himself doing all of this, growing rich off the backs of his own people, many of whom probably struggled to pay even the amount that the Romans required. Zacchaeus may have been wealthy, but he was not a man who would have been accustomed to being welcomed at anyone's table. And it's important for us to know that as we hear what Jesus did when he saw Zacchaeus perched up in that tree. As we heard, Jesus called him and asked him to come down. Now, Zacchaeus would have never expected that. On one level, I suspect he likely wouldn't have even wanted it, because encountering Jesus might mean that he was in trouble. It might mean that he was going to be called on the way that he was making his living. But surprisingly, Jesus didn't chastise him. Quite the opposite. He invited himself to Zacchaeus' house for the night, which was itself a big, big deal. In the Jewish faith and culture, to eat and stay with someone was an expression of social intimacy. You didn't do that with just anyone. You were very selective about who you associated with to that degree. And that's why people grumbled when Jesus said that to Zacchaeus. Any self-respecting rabbi would never have been caught in the company of a tax collector, let alone the chief tax collector. But Jesus couldn't have cared less about what people thought about him or about the company he kept. What Jesus cared about was connecting with people who were interested in connecting with him. And on this day, he calls out to this man who was so determined to be able to get a glimpse of him passing by that he was actually prepared to embarrass himself by climbing up a tree. Jesus saw that, and so he stopped. He called out to Zacchaeus. And instead of condemning his crooked ways, he showed him completely unexpected grace. And as it would do years later in Paul on the Damascus Road, as it does in any of us who are fortunate enough to encounter it. The unexpected grace of Christ did a good work in Zacchaeus. From that day on, his life changed dramatically. He went from gouging people for a living to repaying them fourfold, from hoarding money to giving away half of everything he had to the poor. As it did in Paul, Jesus' incredible grace to Zacchaeus forever changed him. Now, unlike the Apostle Paul, the biblical story doesn't tell us what became of Zacchaeus after this encounter he had with Jesus. But some church tradition says that he went on to become an early leader in the church. He may have even, we think, been the first bishop of the church in Caesarea. And if that's the case, then it means that Zacchaeus dedicated the rest of his life to ensuring people knew about the gracious love of God that comes to us embodied in Christ. Now, as I often encourage you, sometimes it can be helpful and interesting to look beyond just the passage we're studying, to pan back a bit from this story. And today is one of those times. If you go back to the previous chapter, you'll find a story there that has an interesting connection to this one. There, Luke tells that story of the rich man. Remember the one that talks about getting camels through eyes of needles? It's a story about a rich man who asked Jesus what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. Well, you may remember in that encounter that Jesus reminded him of the commandments. And the man quickly says, "Not a problem, I've kept those since I was a boy." And so Jesus then said that he should sell everything he owned and give the proceeds to the poor. But the man couldn't bring himself to do that. And so Luke tells us that he left Jesus and he went away sad. The man in that story is such a stark contrast to our happy Zacchaeus, a man who didn't even wait to be told to let go of his wealth. He just seemed to kind of do it spontaneously. It was his natural response to the grace that Jesus had shown him. The unnamed rich man had been counting on the fact that his good living would actually earn him eternal life. He wasn't looking for Jesus to save him. He was hoping that Jesus would assure him that he'd been doing all he needed to do to save himself. And so sadly, he missed the grace Jesus would have happily offered him, as had he sought it. Friends, the good news of our gospel is that just as God's grace was available to both Zacchaeus and that rich man, God's grace is always available to us. God offers us both the grace to save us every day and the grace to sustain us through all that life brings. And those two stories of these two wealthy men, they challenge us. Zacchaeus reminds us that we all need God's grace, and so we all can seek it like he did. And the rich man reminds us that we can all be tempted at times to slip into living as if we have the ability to save ourselves. And when we do that, we begin to forget to look for the ways that God's amazing grace might be coming to us each day. We start to miss it. So as we leave Zacchaeus today to go into this next week, I want to encourage us all to go with an invitation to first remember that we all need the gracious love of God in our lives. And second, to remember to watch for it. God is always pouring out his grace on us, and when it comes to us, often in unexpected ways, it truly has the ability to change everything if we'll let it. So friends, go. Go live the kingdom of God life, watching for the grace that God has for you today and sharing it. Sharing it with those God brings into your life. Amen.
Blessed are you as you weep on your knees, with perfume and tears washing over my feet. Blessed are you, beggar, hopeless and blind, calling for mercy when I'm passing by. Blessed are you, shaking your head at two tiny fish and some bread. Blessed are you as you tremble and wait for the first stone thrown at your sinful disgrace. Tell me your story. Show me your wounds. And I'll show you what love sees when love looks at you. I'll show you what love sees when love sees you. Blessed are you walking on waves to find yourself sinking when you look away. Blessed are you, lepers standing alone. The fear on their faces is all that you've known. Blessed are you, lonely widow, who gave your last shiny coin to Yahweh. Blessed are you with your silver and lies, kissing the one who's saving your life. We'll be right back.
Let us pray. Loving God, we honor you for the unfathomably deep love that you have for the whole of creation. And that includes the rich greens and blues in nature that surround us, and the wild and tame animals that are part of our surroundings. Thank you for giving us the gift of peace in nature. In these challenging times, help each of us to open our heart to sharing that love that you are with all folk that we encounter on a daily basis. May we each see the goodness that is so deep in all people, rich or poor, abused, mentally ill, addicted or deeply angry, or with strong, divisive political views. Help us to share radical grace. Help each of us to recognize that we are stewards of your world, that we can each in our seemingly small way respectfully look after our patch of nature. For the caregivers that we know, both family and friends, we ask that they be given your peace and the energy they need for the work they are doing. We ask that they be given your joy and laughter to be shared with the other. I bless each marriage with new peace, stability, and comfort, and that all families with high stress, either financial or addiction or some other dysfunction, be given hope and the tools to change direction. In Jesus' name, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
People of St. Stephen's, we are very grateful for the ways in which you give to the life and ministry of this church. Would you pray with me now, dedicating these gifts back to the building of God's kingdom? O God, we your people present these tithes and offerings that they may be a blessing to others. Accept them, we pray, and with them ourselves as living sacrifices to be used in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, may Christ, who makes saints of sinners, who has transformed all those we have remembered together today, raise and strengthen you, and may you join God in his work of transforming this world. Amen.